You ever heard someone say, well, I wonder what she sees in him, or I wonder what he sees in her? You ever uttered those words yourself, or had these words uttered about you? You know, this question usually comes up when you see someone in a relationship, and you may think, well, this person must be blind in going into this relationship because they really don't know who this person really is or what this person is really like. And you may question this person's qualities. You may question, or the lack of their qualities is more what you might think about, or maybe the way they act, or maybe the way they talk. So we find ourselves doing that quite often, don't we? When we see relationships beginning to develop, and we just can't understand how this can happen. Now, with this thought in mind, I would like for us to think about this. How can a perfectly loving, holy, pure God, the God of heaven, choose to have a loving relationship with us? I mean, we as humans, we are the very one who have shown ourselves anything but being perfectly loving. We have never shown ourselves many times to be holy and to be pure. But yet the God of heaven wants to have a relationship with us? How can this possibly be? Is he blind to who we really are and how we really act? Does he choose to ignore the things that I do and still want to connect with us in a good way? That's what I want to talk about today. How can God want to have a relationship with us? And I don't want you to think about it like this. How could God choose him? Or how could God choose her? I want us to look at it like this. How could God choose me? The way I am. The way I live, the way I act, my attitude toward life, my attitude toward God himself. How can God want a relationship with me? What does he see in us? I mean, he sees everything, don't he? Well, yes, he does. We know that he sees everything. He sees all the evil. He sees all the hatred. He sees all the disruptive lives that we present to him every day. What could he possibly see in us that is good? Well, that's what I want to talk about this morning. And I want to talk about it from two different avenues. First of all, I want to talk about this. What does he see in all people? Every one of us that have walked the face of this earth, every one of us that is walking the face of this earth, and everyone who will walk the face of this earth. What does he see in everyone? Well, he sees someone to love. God sees someone to love when he looks at you and me. Whether we are a Christian or whether we are not, whether we love him or whether we do not, God sees someone to love when he sees you and me. Now, how do we know this? Well, we can go back to the creation and we can see this love that God had for us. In Genesis chapter 1, in verse 24, God said, "Let the earth bring forth the living creature according to his own kind. Cattle, the creeping thing, the beast of the earth, each according to his own kind, and it was so. God created the animal world that we recognize today. You ever go to the zoo? I love to go to the zoo. And I've gone to several zoos throughout the Southeast and usually see something really interesting. We actually have one here in town, the little zoo of Chihuahua. And I enjoy going to Chihuahua, especially in the springtime, because flowers abound in Chihuahua in the spring. But it is there that you are going to see all of the living creatures that God created. And if you go to one of the larger zoos, like in Atlanta or in Birmingham, or especially Memphis, Memphis has a tremendous zoo. You will see a huge collection of all of God's creation. And God said it was good. But then he does something else. In verses 26 and 27, we find that there is an infinite difference in this creation. God said, "Let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. This is God's love for us. He created us infinitely different than he did the cow or the bird or the cat or the dog. And we know that. He even gave us special blessings in the fact that he gave us as humans a special place in creation that we would actually rule over the other living things of this earth. Do we? Well, in a way, yes, we do. We are the dominant species of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean that if you go down to the Atlantic Ocean and you jump into the Atlantic Ocean and you see a shark coming toward you and you say, "Shark, get out of here," you're probably not going to make it out of the water alive. He's going to take you out. We don't have that kind of control. Or if you're walking through the fields in Africa and you see a lion coming and you say, "Lion, you better get out of here. You better run because you ain't going to make it if he don't." That's not the kind of control I'm talking about. We have dominion over the animal world because we are his top priority in life. That's what that means. Then he expressed a tremendous love upon us with the role of filling the earth and subduing it for life, and it was good, he said. So we see just example after example of God's tremendous love for man. He sees someone to love. God planted a special place for man when he created man. Genesis chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and is good for food." And then when he created Adam, he realized that Adam needed a companion, so he created Eve and made a helper in Genesis 2, verse 18, comparable to man because it was not good that man should be alone. Didn't he love us? And even after sin entered the world, God's love and God's care continued to be upon us, whether man was good or whether man was evil. You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 45, he said, "For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good. He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous." God loved humanity. He loves humanity today. And we see it. So what does he see in man? He sees someone to love. Now, he also sees something else. He also sees those who are seemingly unlovable. And again, we can go back to the beginning of time. In Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 2, his very first creation, the first creation in his image, turned on him, disobeyed him, walked away from him. They were seemingly unlovable to him. And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die." Then the serpent said to the woman, "Well, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day that you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good from evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. You know, God gave to Adam and Eve the very same thing that he gives to you and me today. He gave them and us everything that we need to enjoy life to the fullest without sin and without the consequences of sin. That's how much he loved us. Yet God's love was rejected. And it was rejected in hopes of gaining the one thing that God forbade. The one thing that would bring death is the one thing that man just thinks he has to have. And even today, we look at sin and we don't look at it as an ugly thing many times. Sometimes we look at sin as something that we want, something that we think we can't live without, something that we just need. And we go after it just like Adam and Eve went after that fruit, knowing what it was going to do to us. So he continued to love us, even though we were seemingly unlovable. And this unlovable sense continued in the days of Noah. But here we see the world has grown. Millions of people now live on this planet. And millions of people have rejected God's love. Genesis chapter 6, beginning with verse 5, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart." Can you imagine this? God looking down at this earth, and he said, "Let us make man in our own image. He is going to be like us. He is going to have a spirit. He is going to live forever. And it's going to be a forever love." And look what man did. God saw that his creation did not care that a holy and loving God created them in his image. He saw selfish, self-centered, rebellious people bent on their own destruction. And we find out he even destroyed that creation, with an exception of one family, Noah and his family, that were saved inside the ark. Mankind, for the most part, was unlovable toward God. And you know, the sad thing is, we see the same thing today. God continues to see his prized creation reject his love and rebel against him. The world does not love God. You know, Jesus said, John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. The world does not do this, folks. The world does not keep the commandments of God. In fact, the world is trying to take these commandments away from the few of us who do want to follow his commandments. But yet, God has and continues to love mankind, even though he witnesses mankind's choice of death rather than life. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. Now we need to understand something. Yes, God loves us. But make no mistake, God is not blind to the sinful condition of all the people everywhere in this world. And yes, it matters to him. He is concerned. And that's why he looked at this world, every one of us, from beginning to end, which we haven't seen yet, and he saw someone worth dying for. You know, when we think about this thought that Jesus sent his son into the world to die for the sins of the world, you know, this really defies human thinking, doesn't it? Now, we do know that men will die for other men. Do it all the time. Through the wars that we have had, we find people putting their life on the line for other people. We see people putting their life for members of their family. We see people doing things like this daily. But to die for someone who hates you? To die for someone who lives to oppose you? Why would anyone do that? Would you do that? Would you die for someone who literally hated the very thought that you exist? But yet, God, he gave us that kind of love. He gives us that kind of love today by sending Jesus. Listen to Paul. Romans chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, now having been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. God has demonstrated his love for the ungodly, for those who deliberately live contrary to his ways, his holiness, his love, his goals. We are against all of that. But yet he loves us anyway. And when God looks down upon this earth and he sees all of us, he sees someone that he can love. He sees someone that he has always desired to love, even though they show themselves unlovable. He sees them worth dying for. Now, the second thing I want us to look at: how does God see his own people? Now, when I say his own people, I'm talking about us who are a part of him, who are born again Christians. What does he see in us? A little differently maybe than what he sees in everybody else. Well, number one, he sees someone who has left sin and death. He sees someone who's seen the very same thing that Eve did when she looked up in that tree and saw that fruit. And he sees someone now that turned and walked away from that fruit, gave their lives to the Lord, who heeded the gospel call and heeded God's word in every way. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, listen to this. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We know that God loved the world. And we know that he sent his Son into the world to die for the world. But we also know that it is only through answering the gospel call that we can become his beloved, that we can become different than everybody else that he sees. Christian, you and I need to see ourselves that are being especially loved by God. Because when we accepted him, and when we walked away from this nasty, ugly, dirty world, God saw us differently. When one meets the conditions of believing in the truth of the gospel and obeying and in salvation, God sees us differently. You see, he sees us as someone who has been cleansed. We've been cleansed of our sins. We have become sanctified. The word sanctification, by the way, means holy. We have become justified, which means we have become righteous before him. Listen to what Paul said. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 9. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Now listen to this list, folks. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will enter the kingdom of God. And then he adds this. And such were some of you. You did these things. You lived this kind of life. But you were washed. You were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. Hallelujah. He sees us differently. Because we walked away from all of that. God sees the sin that we commit before we came to Christ. And if we continue in that sin even after we come to Christ, it will keep us out of heaven. We ought to know that. We know that. But when we come to Christ and we obey that blessed word and we live it, God sees us differently. We have been washed clean. As it was with Saul of Tarsus, Acts 22:16. Now why are you waiting? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. God sees someone who has been forgiven through the blood of Jesus. He's looking into this room right now, and I hope he sees all of us that way. Through Christ's death, the shedding of his righteous blood, we are the forgiven ones. Paul said, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1, verse 7. The sin that tainted our souls is gone. It has been washed away by the blood of the Lamb. We need to know that when we are baptized, we are raised with Christ as those who have been spiritually cleansed from our sins. Paul tells us, Colossians 2, verse 12, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. So when Jesus, or when God sees one of his children in Christ, he sees us differently than he sees the world For you see, we have been raised to something new, something different, something better. We have been raised with Christ. When we come out of those waters of baptism, we are not who we were before. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We are people who have died to the former life. We have now been changed. We now live with Christ. And God sees that. And when he sees us for who we truly are, he sees something new. He sees something different from what we were. And he is thrilled to have a relationship with us. That's what God sees in us. That's the two things. He sees us all with love. But he sees those of us who have obeyed him with a wonderful, wonderful love. So this morning, let me ask you this. What does God see in you? This morning, my friends, if you are not a Christian, you are one of those all people that I talked about earlier in this lesson. Yes, God loves you. Yes, God blesses you. Last week when we got all the rain, didn't everybody get the rain? Everybody in South Georgia got the rain. It didn't matter if they was a Christian or not. You got the rain. And we needed the rain. He's going to give us those blessings. But if you're outside of Christ, even though he loves you, even though he blesses you, God will not save you. Please consider what God offers you through Christ. And God will take you, a sinner condemned, and save you. He will make you holy. He will forgive you of your sins and make you righteous. He will give you life instead of death. And that life is eternal. And if you haven't done that, please do that today. And today, if you are a Christian and you're not living this changed life, this righteous life, that God's not going to give you those special blessings, quit excusing your sin. Quit saying it's coming from the old self. You're new. You're supposed to have changed. So live like it. Change your life. Let him see you in him and not like those who are in the world. Let God forgive you of your sins and let God give you that way again to eternal life. This morning, if you need to respond to the invitation, please come while we stand and sing this song to encourage you.